Because I went to a church for one, that was super big at one point, and I was like, I didn't, nobody talk to me. I had no community. When I look back, I didn't go to none of the stuff. You know, I'm sitting there over here like this. Nobody, I never got touched. I never got.
That's good.
Bro, they had this, they had that, they had Bible study. I never went.
Yeah, that's good.
And so it's not that a big church necessarily means no community.
Yeah.
You just got to do the work. Welcome to A Christian Podcast, the podcast where we have Christ-centered conversations. I'm your host, Kevin Wilson. Yo, welcome to another episode of A Christian Podcast with Kevin Wilson. I'm your host, Kevin Wilson. Who am I with today?
Che Cole.
All right, so we in a different little setup. You know, it's raining outside, so we couldn't do the part today. But we still want to do this episode and talk more in depth about church, what church is, what church isn't, and all of the things that come with that. Before we get into it, though, I want to shout out two people. I want to shout out Tatiana from Virginia, and Joel from Uganda. Thank you so much for watching A Christian Podcast. I pray that you continue. If you're watching, let me know in the comments, where are you watching or listening from? And if you could please like, comment, subscribe, and leave a rating and review if you're on any of the podcasting platforms. So, church. What is church? Where do we understand what church is, right? Because, you know, we got big church, big C church,
yeah,
little C church, all right? So, Che, break that down even, because you talk a lot about big C versus little C church.
Yeah, so big C, we're definitely talking about the body of Christ at large. And so that's when you think of Christians, the body of believers, versus your local church. That would be your little C church, the church that you might attend, right? Or the church that you grew up in. That's what we're really talking about when we talk, you know, big C church versus the little C church. Yep. I don't know how far you want
to take it. That's a perfect intro, bro. And as we go about this, right, I want to make it clear that unless Che and I say a specific church name, we are not talking about any one specific church, yeah, right? Because people hear and say, oh, are they talking about this church? if we do not explicitly, clearly say this church, da-da-da, XYZ, we are not talking about a specific church. We're talking about the church at large, or the body of Christ at large. And so I just want to make that disclaimer as we go forth so that there's no room for the enemy to come and say, oh, are they talking about this or that?
Like, yeah.
Nah, we're just discussing the church. So yes, big C is the body of Christ. Little C is the experience, the building, the whatever church you go to experience, right? So Acts chapter 2, you already know we get into it.
Yes, sir.
Acts chapter 2, verse 40 to 47. A lot of times I go 42, but I won't read all of this right now, but I will say that the headline in the New King James Version says, a vital church grows, right? And so I probably am going to read this at some point, but right now I just want to point out in verse 47, it says, and the Lord, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, if you do your research and you look up the Greek word for church, right? If you're not familiar, the Bible was not written originally in English. It was written in Hebrew, Greek, and a little bit of Aramaic. These are not to sound fancy, right? We're not telling you no Hebrew, Greek stuff, so we can sound like we cool and we know. We got all this stuff down, right? The original language, though, sometimes it translates differently, or sometimes just gives you a better, deeper understanding of the writer's original intent. And so that's the reason why we call out certain Greek or Hebrew words. It's not to be fancy, so we can get a deeper understanding. And so if you look that up, and one resource that you can do that is Blue Letter Bible. I use it pretty often. It's a dope site. I'll link it in the comments or in the description. But that word church is ecclesia, and it means to be called out or an assembly of citizens from out of their homes into some public space or place, right? And so anytime you have a group of believers that are together, they've been called out, They've left their homes to meet together. That is, in some form, the biblical definition of church. Now, church has become, in some ways, a show, right? You have the lights, cameras, action. You got all this stuff, right? Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that necessarily, as long as it doesn't take the place of the presence of God.
That's good.
Right? You know, you go into certain churches and you're like, yo, it's like a concert. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. I believe that God allows us to use all the resources we have to serve Him, worship Him. But I do think that some places you go and it's like, is this a concert or are we worshiping God?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, have you ever been to a place and it's like, this is really dope, but I don't know if the presence of God is here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So tap into that even.
So what comes to mind when you talk about that is something that we've talked about before, kind of privately, but just even in that worship experience, how we can get caught up in, you know, the lights, camera, the action, all that kind of stuff. And I think one thing that you shared, you know, with me before was in terms of like, in worship, when it comes to those spaces, like, we have to be careful that we're not worshiping the people on stage, right? Or, like, it's not even about, like, oh, that person can sing and we're embracing their gift, their talent that God has blessed them with. But I think one of the things that you share with me that you'll do sometimes is, like, you'll turn away from, like, watching or, you know, because you get caught up in. And it's so easy to do.
It's easy, bro.
And so I bring that out to say just in those environments, in those spaces, like, we have to be very cognizant and very aware that we're not, even for those who are leading churches, that we're not just trying to cater to an atmosphere to where we're producing an emotional response versus actually experiencing the presence of God.
Yeah, bro. That's why, if you've ever been a podcast in a park, that's why worship can sometimes be so awkward for people out there. Because you're so used to the stage, the lights, the all of this stuff, and you don't even realize that you're not even worshiping God.
Yeah.
You can almost begin to worship the experience itself.
Yeah.
Right? Like you said, you're worshiping a worship leader. Or you're not even worshiping them. You're just focused on them.
Right.
Right? You're not focusing, setting your eyes on Jesus, as the scripture says. You're setting your eyes on the performer.
Yeah.
And it's like, performer can't save you, right? The performer there hasn't done anything for you. And so, yeah, we got to be intentional in church as we go to the building of church to focus on Jesus.
Yeah.
And make an intentional effort to set our eyes, what is that, Hebrews 12? To set our eyes on Jesus. Because it's so easy, like you said, you're just sitting there worshiping and you like, man, you might even have chills and you're like, this is great. And then it's like, wait a second. I remember I was at a secular concert and I had chills because it was such a great performance. And I was like, that's that same feeling I got at church.
Yeah.
So if I messed, if I'm not careful, I can confuse the presence of the Holy Spirit with amazement.
Right.
Does the presence of the Holy Spirit come with amazement? Absolutely. But amazement comes from a lot of different things and just excitement and all that stuff. And so, like Chase said, sometimes I'll literally turn, you know, just away from the stage because I just want to make sure that I'm not confusing this with a concert or a performance. Yeah. This is an encounter with God. And like, I remember one day I have a leadership role, you know, at our church. And so it's nothing for me to be in the front. But one time I was in the back and I realized, man, It was much harder for me to like jump around or like really get into the worship pile with in the front. And I realized, part of that is because it's just the atmosphere of the environment. And so even within one building, you have different pockets of atmosphere.
Right.
So if your worship isn't pure, You can limit your worship because the people around you aren't doing what you really want to do.
Yeah, that's good.
Or you realize that you really didn't even want to do it at the front. Mm. You just did it because if you didn't, you would look foolish. Yeah. You would look like, why is he not worshiping? Right? Yeah. And so it was when I was back there and I was like, dang, like, I kind of want to jump around, but nobody up here jumping around. So I feel like I'm going to just stick out. And then God was like, you going to worship me in spirit and in truth or not?
Yeah, that's good.
You know? So.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, not to make it all about worship, but I think that's why in, you know, your local church settings, when you're around other believers worshiping in a worship experience at church, at Podcast in the Park, wherever it may be, I like how you bring out, like, I don't care. I don't care how you worship, because at that moment, it should be between you and God, and you worshiping and reverencing your Heavenly Father at that moment.
Man, that's a fact. So let's talk about, why should we go to church? What's the benefits? What's the reason? A lot of people have different perspectives of church, right? You know, you and I both kind of grew up in church. So just as a disclaimer, we do have that experience, right? Not that we can't understand or speak from or see different perspectives, but that's just kind of how we grew up, right? But with that in mind, I understand that everybody didn't grow up in church. Everybody doesn't have a positive experience with church. And so if I'm the person watching, listening to this video or this podcast, and I'm like, I watched it because I really don't like church, but part of me is looking for a reason, like kind of just a nudge. What would you say to somebody watching that's like, I don't even know if I should go to church. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, so I think a lot of times we also need to throw this out here that no, there isn't a perfect church.
No.
So if you're looking for a perfect church, you're not going to find one. Because as soon as you walk in, as soon as whoever else is leading the church, as soon as they walked in, it became perfect.
It's bad.
So you have to kind of take that out of the equation in terms of, you know, going to church. I understand there may have been some things at a previous church that has tainted your experience or tainted the reasoning why. But I think, you know, even Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as is the manner of some. Right. So understanding that, coming together with like-minded believers is very important. And I think the thing with church is finding somewhere where you can grow and where someone, where you can be disciple, disciple others.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's the most important thing with, when it comes to church is finding that community to where, I may be in a space where I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like worshiping. Yeah. Kevin's like, man, you gotta come, you know, let me pray for you. Mm-hmm. Let me pray with you, right? Keeping me accountable, keeping me, yo, Che, what have you been studying? What have you been reading in your word? Mm-hmm. You know, that it either can help him or it helps me stay on my P's and Q's to say, all right, I ain't been tapped in, bro. Like, this is what's up. This is what's going on. Right. And there's something about being in community that, as the Bible tells us, iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
So you can't do that in an isolated state. You can get a lot done by yourself.
Yeah.
But there's a lot, like how much more. Don't be a hoarder of what God is doing in your life.
Facts. Yeah. Bro. Cause I'm glad you had that perfect balance of you can do a lot by yourself. Cause there's a lot of people that, and even myself at certain times, I've grown, apart from the church in a way, right? But I would also say that that's, how do I describe this? Sometimes people take growth or they take, abundance or they take anything that's good. And they say, because this is good, it's the best.
Right.
And it's like, nah, like you, were you able to grow by yourself? 100%. Were you able to do all of that stuff? 100%. But it's like, why settle for 100% when you can have, or why settle for 75% growth when I can have the whole 100, right? And so churches that, it's an essential piece of the Christian walk that, as Chase said, has so many different benefits, from accountability to discipleship to friendship to, just so many different things that come with church, being able to be taught the word and to be properly equipped to go out outside of church and carry out those works of service, right? That we've all been called to do. And so for the person listening, like, I'm good. I watch my podcast on, you know, on YouTube. I watch my favorite pastor on YouTube. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's something about, again, Hebrews 10, do not forsake. Is that it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. 10:25.
Yeah. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It's hard to be encouraged at the crib by yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Because the pastor you're watching on TV, as much as you love to hear him preach and as much as you even grow from it, he can't encourage you. He can't see you and say, hey, man, are you having a bad day?
Yeah.
Like, he just can't, or she just can't. So church, man, is I think is essential, right? I think that every believer should strive to find a church where they feel like they're growing, they're thriving, and they also contribute to the ministry by serving, right?
Yeah.
That's super important.
Yeah, and I'll give even an example. I kind of use myself as a personal example. Let's just say I've been studying on my own, solid in the word. Maybe God has blessed me with a teaching gift, but because I'm not connected, I don't get to even use the teaching gift. I know the word, right? And then even to take that a step further, because I've neglected the local body, coming to the local church, I understand how to teach the word, but I don't understand how to evangelize. Mm-hmm. And so coming and meeting Kev, seeing he has an evangelistic heart, mm-hmm. now I get to tap into this, and maybe that's a part that I haven't developed.
Yeah.
And so just being around Kevin, seeing how he operates and how his gift operates, where, right, many members.
Yeah, one body.
But one body. And so so when we talk Big C Church, what part are we missing out as a body, mm-hmm. because this one member hasn't become fully developed? Like, what if all my fingers, like, if one of these fingers was still the same size as when I was a baby, mm-hmm. my hand couldn't function the same way.
Not at all.
Right? So that's what we look like when we neglect coming together, or even developing those things. Like, evangelism may not be the best, like, in your natural state. It may not be the thing that you want to do, but it's not that you should neglect that component of the call,
right?
To go ye therefore.
Yep.
So I think that's also speaks to the importance of being around someone so that you can, okay, I'm solid here, but this is an area that I could grow in, mm-hmm. right? Or maybe it isn't even a spiritual gift. Maybe it is some emotional things, or maybe it is some, you know, family things, some past things that you've dealt with that, yo, Kev is going through the same thing right now. And I've overcome this, whether it was sin, whether it's, you know, something that happened in my family, mm-hmm. or something I haven't had to overcome.
Yeah.
And Kev needs the encouragement that I can't give him if I'm at the house.
Facts. Facts. That's a good point. Part of it is what you need from the church, but part of it is what the church needs from you.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes we discount our importance when it comes to the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And so, I just want to get some scripture too, just even the, because I know we keep saying the body of Christ. And so it's like, we kind of grew up in church, so the body of Christ. Yeah. But it's like the body, I understand how that's not a normal phrase. Like, we are the body of Christ, right? So Ephesians 1, 22-23. And he put all things under his feet and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Even just reading that, right? Talking about Jesus, gave him to be head over the church. Jesus is the head. So imagine, like, let's get visual, right? Imagine Jesus is the head of the church. We are the body, meaning everybody that is a Christian is a member of the body of Christ. Those that have professed that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, repented of their sins and given their life to Jesus are part of this body. And it says, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so when I hear the fullness of, that reminds me that a lack of would be incompletion.
Mm.
And so, yeah. Right? You take yourself out of the body, it's incomplete.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be clear, God doesn't need us, right? He's God, all powerful, all by himself. But in his love, grace, and mercy, he's decided to include us in a part of the body of Christ in which we are a imperative, necessary piece.
Yeah.
Right? That's important. Like you said, you take out part of your body, you jacked up.
Yeah.
So that's where we're getting the body of Christ, right? And then we also have in what, 1 Corinthians 12?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's go there real quick. And so as we go about this episode, what we're talking to you, we're talking together. But even as you're listening and watching, we're also teaching you how to find the answers for yourself, right? And so if you have a question about the Bible or about anything within life, it's in the Bible,
yeah.
But you got to know where to find it. And so sometimes it literally is taking that key phrase, like, okay, I keep hearing people say the body of Christ. What do I do? Go to the Bible app, search in body of Christ.
Yeah.
What do all the scriptures say about body of Christ? Oh, okay. Now it starts to come together. And so it makes sense. So we are at 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go 12:12. Yep. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members, matter of fact, I'm sorry. I want to read this in the NIV. I want to make it super plain. 27:27. So now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets. No. I went to 27. I want to go to 12, right?
Yep.
12. I'm skipping all the way down. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. We were all given up the one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, as Jay was getting at earlier, if the body should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. So if you are like, I'm not part of the body. I'm just do my own thing. I want to do my own thing. That doesn't stop you from being part of the body.
Yeah.
And so you become it's like you almost forfeit your spot in there, because although you are part of the body, you say, I'm not going to work, which means imagine you have a team. Like, and you got 5-on-5, and it's just five of y'all, and one person says,
I don't want to play no more.
I don't feel like playing. Like, okay, I mean, you're still on the team,
yeah.
But we need your help, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body in the body, every one of them just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So, in your own time, go through the rest of that.
You good?
I know. I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to keep reading. I've been feeling like I'm reading for a long time, but it's necessary. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. They're 100% necessary is what it's saying. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healing, of helping, guidance, and of different tongues, right? Boom. So, we may get into fivefold a little bit towards the end. The fivefold ministry is what it starts to hit, and it goes a little bit more in Ephesians. But, the parts that seem weaker are actually indispensable. The parts that seem like, we don't need, are actually the parts we need the most.
Yeah.
And so even for the person listening, like, I'm not like, you know, Bishop Jakes. I'm not like Pastor Furtick. I can't do these things. I'm not even like Chain Kev. It's like every part is 100% needed. And even those that feel like they're not needed are needed even more. And those that are honored less publicly are honored even more by God.
Yeah.
And so it's like, man, don't minimize yourself and don't minimize your stake in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
That's important, bro.
That's good. Yeah. I was actually just going to say to take a moment and just encourage anybody that looks at the singing gifts, right? The preaching, the singing and those things. Don't neglect. You may not be in a seat. It's not to say that you won't ever be there, right? It just may be a season where you're behind the scenes, where you're doing these things. But it's also to appreciate what you bring to the body of Christ, whether you're serving in hospitality or parking lot ministry, like every single thing, because you never know, like your smile makes the difference. Your hug makes the difference. Your, hey, how are you? Makes a difference in someone's life. And there are so many different instances where people lives were changed just because you were the usher for the day and somebody saw your smile or you gave someone a hug and the message, it mattered. But to that person, the most important thing was somebody saw me today.
Yeah.
Somebody spoke to me today. Somebody gave me a hug today. I haven't had a hug in I don't know when.
Mm-hmm.
And I just needed to feel love, the love that was shared through this hug. Made a difference.
Yeah.
And so we can't, don't get, I say all that to say, don't get caught up on the scene gifts. It's okay to be behind the scenes. It's okay to be in obscurity, if you will. And just know that what you bring to the body of Christ, as Kev has outlined in 1 Corinthians 12, what you bring to the body of Christ matters. No matter what part you play, you might be the foot, you might be the toe, the pinky finger, you still matter.
You might be the liver. Because we always thought, you know, hands, toes, feet, da da da. But it says 23, and the parts that are unpresentable, parts that are unseen, that are hidden, everything internal, are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts, hands and feet, da da da, need no special treatment. Everybody can see your hands. Everybody can see your feet. So there's no need. But God says the parts that actually do the work that make the heart, the lungs, the yeah. liver, the kidney. Like, bro, your kidney mess, it's not good. Like, yeah. it filters everything out to keep. And I mean, I'm not into biology, so I'm sure I should bring somebody else on. They'll make it all make sense, right? But to Jay's point, one, it may not be now. Two, it may not be ever for yeah. you to come to the spotlight.
Yeah.
And you have to be okay with knowing that not everybody is going to be a presentable part.
Yeah.
Or a part that does things in a way that people see.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm not saying you don't do anything.
Yeah.
I shared a story, you know, where I was going to preach at this other church and this guy was assigned, you know, an armor bearer. And before we went out in the back room, he was like, "Can I pray for you?" I was like, "Yeah." So he prayed with me. And when I tell you the prayer was, it was spot on everything I needed. Nobody would ever know.
Yeah.
Like he didn't say nothing about it afterwards. It like after that prayer was over, that was it. And the rest of the day he literally spent like, "Do you need me to carry this or do that?" I'm like, "This is making me uncomfortable." But like he was, and this is a grown man. Like I'm a young dude, but like he was older, and he's literally like, "Let me carry your Bible, all this stuff." Nobody would know that the Bible he read, because his prayer was full of scripture.
Yeah.
So nobody would know the time he spends reading his Bible and spends praying. Like you could tell that, oh, you spend time with God, but he is okay with knowing, doesn't matter who sees me.
Yeah.
I'm doing what I'm called to do. I'm encouraging him to go preach the gospel.
Yeah.
And so if that's my only role, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Because that's what God called me to do. And so understanding your place in the body is super important.
That's good.
Because you'll start trying to, what's Shay doing? Nah. Keep your eyes forward and focused.
That's good, bro.
Where do we fly to now? So, Shay, I'm looking for a church. What do I look for? How do I know a church is fitting for me? Like, how would you explain to someone that this is a good church, this might not be the best church?
Yeah, one of the first things I look for in terms of church is, and I say this not saying that you have to look to other people, but it is telling, because I've walked in some churches where I may be a first-time guest and nobody greets you. Right? Or nobody speaks to you.
Let's start.
Like, this is a practical example, mm-hmm. right? Like, nobody greets you. Nobody speaks to you. And you're like, "Are y'all even happy to be at church?" Right? You know what I mean? Are y'all glad to be here?
Welcome.
Right? So I think that's one of the things, like, the environment in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Do you see smiles on people's faces? Are they greeting you? Are they, you know, welcoming to you? That's a great sign, just practically, right? When you come in there, are they trying to help you follow up with next steps or whatever their discipleship process looks like? Are they trying to get you connected to, if you're a guy, are the guys, you know, talking to you like, "Hey, man, like, We got a cookout, you know, we got this, we got a men's fellowship coming up," and things of that nature. Yeah. Just seeing, are these people someone I can relate to? Yeah. And are these people I would want to be around? Like, yeah. The community aspect, that's important, because as we opened up with the episode, discipleship is one of the foundations of the faith.
Yeah.
I can't grow without, you know, iron sharpening iron. So if me and Kev, we just don't get along, then, I mean, you're not going to get along with everybody at the church, but it is a great step to say or connect with everyone at the church. Isn't an environment conducive to community in those aspects? Mm-hmm. Also, I would say, as you think about going to a church or you're in that environment, as you're in that place, to be intentional about praying even while you're there. Mm-hmm. Asking God, Lord, what do I need to look out for? Mm-hmm. Is this where you're calling me? Right? And you may not hear on the first time you go. You may not hear on the second time. We can't put a number on when God will speak to you and say, this is where you need to go. Excellent. But I truly believe that the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you as long as you're submitting to Him and saying, is this where you're sending me? And as you listen to the Word, like, sometimes that is one of the biggest confirmations is the Word. Like, yeah. This man is preaching my life, or this woman mm-hmm. is preaching my life right now. Like, and I just walked in here for the first time and y'all are preaching everything. That may be a sign that this is where, you know, God is sending you. And again, if it's like recurring, you're like, man, like I was just talking about this and that, here you are, or I was just thinking about this and studying this and here you are preaching about it. Is the worship something that you can, because there are different styles of worship and it may not suit what's your preference in that.
And delivery of the word, different styles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Kev. You got it.
No. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Nah, you good.
I think that's a great, like, a church not being for you doesn't even necessarily mean it's bad or wrong, right? So you have five people that go into one church, and the church could be full of the Holy Spirit, with people that walk in purity, the pastor's preaching a word that God has sent, and all of this stuff, right? And to three of those people, it resonates and they love it. And two, it just doesn't. That doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. So even if you like going, you know, church hopping, as they say, to try to find a church, if you're doing that with a group of people, don't let them and their preferences dictate yours. Because you can be at one church and be like, I don't know, you know, it ain't hitting for me.
Yeah.
And they could be like, it's so dope. And it actually is great for them. That doesn't mean that they're right, you're wrong, they're right, whatever. It just means it fits for them. Yeah. It doesn't fit for you. And so, as Trey said, you gotta pray and ask the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And so, understanding who you are as a person, what you need, what type of environment, atmosphere, delivery that you appreciate. Like, some people love churchy church, meaning when I say churchy church, I'm really referring to most times black churches that gospel centered. When I say gospel, I'm talking about music and the church, the preacher is yelling and doing all this stuff, right?
Hooping
and hollering, right? Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Some people, they go to that church, they love it. Other people are like, I just want the word. Is he angry? Who made him mad? Like, and that's totally fine. Yeah. And then you have other places where the pastor teaches or preaches in a voice like I'm speaking right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, anytime I've ever preached, it's been in the same voice.
Yeah.
So for some people, it's like, that's boring. And for some people, like, this is exactly what I need. You know what I'm saying? And so know who you are and understand that no church is perfect, as we talked about earlier. And have in mind what things you think you want or need.
Yeah, that's good.
Some people go around searching for a church that doesn't exist. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that one person that's always like, hey, man, I got this suggestion. And he's like, nah, that's whack.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have a solution, because in his head, everything is just whack. Until it's this perfect thing that doesn't exist, it's lame.
Yeah.
And so it's like, nah, it's not lame. You just don't know what you want.
Right.
And so sometimes we can go looking for a church in that same manner where it's like, nah, that's not good enough. That's not good enough.
Yeah.
It's like, really ask yourself, what would be good enough? And then when you get down to it, you're like, I don't know. Your expectations are unrealistic.
Yeah. And I would say too, maybe the size of the church is a factor for you. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, right? You may not want to go to a mega church. Something smaller may be more conducive for mm-hmm. just you. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't, you know, size matters, but it doesn't matter when it comes to that. As long as it's a place where you can grow, where you can develop, and you feel that you are being fed the word of God.
Yep.
Where it's being rightly divided. Mm-hmm. That is the most important thing. Like, don't get caught up in, my church has this, and this.
Yeah.
Right. Now, the reason I say it does matter because you may have to, going in, you need to know that they may not have certain things that you may have been accustomed to if you were at a larger church and you want to try a smaller church.
Yeah.
They may not have the resources to have a live stream or, yeah. you know, these different texts to give or giving online.
House yeah, on yeah. Sunday for the kids. Like.
Yeah. So that's something you have to keep in mind as you look for a church. Like if I decide a smaller church is suitable for me, mm-hmm. then these are some things that I may not be able to get the benefit or reap yeah. the benefit from. And that is perfectly fine, right? Mm-hmm. Because maybe you're called to be an evangelist and help the church grow. And,
yeah,
and then it builds to where you can implement those things or whatever the case may be. So, just keep those things in mind too as you look for a church.
That's good, bro. And big church or mega church does not necessarily mean watered down.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've heard people say, or like, you see the amount of people there and you say, well, they can't all be getting touched. It's like, you don't know that.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily know that, right?
Yeah.
Everybody in here could be getting exactly what they need. So sometimes people say, oh, that church is too big. They just want money. Like, you don't know that.
Yeah.
Right? Now, are there signs of churches that are money hungry and may not be doing that in the most legitimate or in the most honest way? 100%. Right? Like, I mean, I've been to a couple of churches where it's like, you go in and you're like, you're going to take about 5 offerings in this one service. Like, dang, can we get to the word? I've been there. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. But I've also been in big churches where I felt like this is a good place. Yeah. And don't also think that, like, if I want a community, I have to go to a small church.
Yeah.
Because a good, bigger church will create opportunities for smaller intimate interactions, right? You have small groups or you have this event. Now you have to do the work of actually going to those things.
Yeah.
Cause I went to a church that was super big at one point and I was like, nobody talked to me. I had no community. When I look back, I didn't go to none of the stuff. You know, I'm sitting there over here like this. I never got touched. I never got.
That's good.
Bro, they had this, they had that, they had Bible study. I never went.
Yeah, that's good.
And so it's not that a big church necessarily means no community.
Yeah.
You just got to do the work. So
the other thing I will add is it's okay to take your time.
Yeah, facts.
You don't have to join on the first Sunday that you go. You don't have to join. I'm not going to count, but mm-hmm. you don't have to rush to make the decision. Kev knows the church we go to now. I was going for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I mean, there were some other things involved in that decision, but still, I say that to say it's okay to take your time. Like, allow God to tell you where you are planted and don't allow, because you may build connections with people there and they may start to influence your decision, but allow God to tell you this is where you are to be planted.
Fact, bro. Take your time. Take your time, but make sure you taking your time is rooted in trying to discern the voice of God in the situation, not your necessarily fears or unhealthy apprehension, right? There's a healthy apprehension that says, let me be wise, prayerful, see what's going on, you know, experience, test some things. And then there's this fear of like, I've been hurt at this church or I just have a bad experience with church, or I don't have any experience, but I have this negative connotation of what church is. And so I'm kind of like, I don't know. But it's like, make sure that you're actually giving it a shot. You're getting involved and you're not saying, this church doesn't, they don't offer anything for me. It's like, did you go to the stuff? And did you test, you know, everything that they have? People outside. But yeah, I think, doing all that, right? You can do all that and still end up at a church for months, years, who knows? And then realize that in a different season of life, you might need a church that has different things.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not saying go around hopping from church to church to church to church to church just because something happened here or you disagree with one thing here. Now, theologically, if somebody said Jesus Christ is not the Lord and Savior, you need to leave, right? If we're talking about theology, right? The church should preach Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of the world, right? Salvation comes through Him and Him alone, right? Ephesians 2, you got Romans 10:9, you got John 3:16 to support those things. And so that it should be clear. If anybody's preaching anything other than Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, leave the church. Yeah. I'm not even going. Some things I'm like, maybe you should. No, do not even wait to see what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I know every church is imperfect.
Yeah.
And so even everybody's theology, there's nobody that has perfect theology. And so if somebody says something that's, you may think it's slightly off, one, check it with the scripture.
Yeah.
Because you might be the one off. and two, say, okay, he just said, you know, that's a minor detail.
Yeah.
Not that anything in the Bible is minor, but when it comes to the grand scheme of salvation.
Yeah.
And the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, you saying that, you know, they might have took this route to Samaria versus that route to Samaria.
Yeah.
Is that changing people getting saved? Nah. So you got to learn how to decipher what things to leave a church about or not.
You want to touch denominations?
Let's hit it. Yeah. How much time we got? we got like 8 minutes left. Let's hit it. All right. So you got all that into play, right? And now you have denominations. You have churches with denominations, and then you have non-denominational churches. What is your what is your take on denominations?
So, just based on my understanding of denominations, I don't think there's anything. So when you get into the conversation and people are comparing, oh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that, I don't think it matters in the grand scheme. As you just said, are they teaching Jesus Christ salvation, right? Do we agree on salvation? And I think what you'll understand when you look at a lot of the denominations, it's not that we disagree on salvation in most cases. There are some that, yes, so stay away from those. Mm-hmm. But if we agree on salvation, right, I think a denomination has the smaller doctrinal things that, as you were just mentioning, that may be differences, or they may have placed emphasis on one piece, right? Yeah. Where baptism is for these people, or you can be sprinkled as a baby. Yeah. That's what we're talking about when, as I understand it, when Kevin said the minor or the minute things, that's where we kind of get those separation and differences of opinions in which we call denominations. Facts.
Yeah, man. I think some people put too much emphasis on it. It's like, we're preaching Jesus Christ. Do we believe in a triune God? I think that's another big one, where certain denominations can, when it comes to the Trinity, I'll say the gospel as a whole and the Trinity, I think, are two things where, like, I don't know if we can, if I need to be debating with y'all about this.
Yeah.
Right? The Trinity, the understanding of the Trinity is that God is one God. He's a triune God. So tri, three. One God that exists in three people or three persons, right? Mm-hmm. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so,
just because you don't see Trinity in the Bible, right. It's our way of conceptualizing what Kevin just said.
No, that's a great point, because somebody already on that doesn't say the word Trinity is not in the, there's a lot of words that aren't in the Bible that we use today to help us understand. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? You can definitely see all of those three in Scripture. Yep. And I think we have an episode on the Trinity from a while back. I might have to do another one. But the reason that's so important and not debatable is because your understanding, it's your understanding of who God is. And so if my understanding of who God is not in line with the Bible, I could be worshiping an image of a God that doesn't actually exist.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets a little dangerous. So again, watch that episode on the Trinity and just know, don't put too much emphasis on denomination. It can be more divisive than...
Non-denominational does not mean better either.
Right. No, facts. Everything got their stuff. And so just choose, pray about that and, see God with that.
Just to add scripture for the Trinity, I'll just give 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that Word is Jesus.
Yep.
Right? John 1:1.
In the beginning.
Was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, just for clarity.
Word became flesh.
Yeah.
And he
did what? That's fact. But I feel like we got a whole bunch, we could keep talking about this. But I think this is a good start as far as church. All right. So if you have any questions, please leave them in the comments. We would love to make another episode at some point to kind of go into those further details and more in depth. Any final remarks?
I'm good.
Great conversation. Well, if you've been watching, listening, thank you so much. And please, as I said before, comment, subscribe, send to a friend. People who have been sharing this with their friends, and I appreciate it because it just helps more people get to know it. Leave a rating and a review. And most importantly, remember to make today worth living. Peace.